Let's just open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to look into God's word just briefly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time here this morning. And we pray that you will take your words and that our hearts will be open to and ready to receive the truth of your word. That we have come with an expectant heart to see what you have for us from your word. I pray that the words that your servant speaks will be yours and not my own, and that ultimately, God, all the honor and glory is given to you and to you alone. In your wonderful and holy name, amen. I just entitled our time here this morning, it would go like this. Let me set the stage a moment, though. Forgive me. I'm doing things that they tell me I always do, and I adamantly told them I don't do them, and I just did it. So that's what's going on at this very moment. I would like to say that my wife and I consider ourselves incredibly blessed. And it's all because of God. In our home, between my wife and I, we always use this phrase, we're rich in everything that matters. And we hope you are as well. And what I mean by that is we have three kids. Our oldest is our son. He's a pastor in Chicago. Our oldest daughter is in Ohio, and she is married to her husband, is a part-time worship pastor, and also a full-time electrician. And our youngest daughter is presently living with us right now because her husband is in Grenada, finishing up medical school. He was an emergency room nurse for many years, but always had a heartbeat to be a doctor. And so this coming December, he finishes that up. But this is what I mean. We just praise the Lord that we have three kids who know Jesus, who love Jesus, and who are trying to serve Jesus. And we may not, as missionaries, have much in a bank account, but we're rich in everything that matters. And so ultimately, that leads me into this. What is it that you're waiting for? I was reminded of this a little while ago. I am not what you would call a handy person. No, let me rephrase that. I am not good with my hands. That kind of means like when it comes time to do something, to fix something, you know, it's not my strength. Matter of fact, I have a good friend on speed dial, and it's usually like, can you come over and help me? But anyway, I had that person all lined up to help me lay new flooring in our small little bathroom, just a small little space. I had him all lined up. I said, I don't mind doing it right beside you, but I need you there. Lo and behold, God changed plans, and he got called off to do something else and couldn't get away. And I didn't really have the option to wait, so I decided I can do it. So I watched many YouTube videos, and they made it look so easy. I thought, done, I can do this. And matter of fact, my friend that I have on speed dial, he said, oh, size of your bathroom, you'll have that done in 2 hours. Awesome. Took me all day. I'm not kidding. It took me all day. And I'm getting to the last couple of strips of my bathroom, and it's the click flooring, right? And I know there are men out there going, oh, man. How do you spend all day doing that? I get to the last couple of rows, and there's, and as it is in life, because that's immediately where my brain went. Why will this not finish well? I have this one piece that just will not click. And I'm all of a sudden, my wife will test, all of a sudden I am hammering it to death. Why are you not going in? Right? I finally came to the point where I said, okay, God, I'm going to leave it and move on. So when you walk into my bathroom, not that you ever will, but someday God may surprise us, and you go, surprise, I wanted to see your bathroom. You would see that there is a small sliver of a space that I chose to leave there. And honestly, that one little experience led me to read a book, which then led me to create this message. And I read a book called Waiting is Not a Waste. And that really got me thinking. And the reason that it got me thinking was because my wife and I are praying through some things, but we're waiting on God. And it's learning to train my brain to say, this is not a waste. There's something He has yet to do, or there is something He has yet for me to see and learn. And honestly, dear folks, I really haven't heard much as it relates to messages on the importance of us understanding that waiting is not a waste. Except we live in a culture, and I think this is why it's so difficult for us. We live in a culture where waiting isn't valued. And I'm as guilty as anybody. You're in a hurry, and it just seems like you're in a hurry, and that's when it seems like God sends the slowest person on the earth to pull out in front of you. And your patience level just dropped exponentially. Or maybe it could be maybe some of the areas that you're waiting on God to bring healing. It hasn't come yet. Oh, hi, Mr. Spider. You okay if I hit it? I'm going to. I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan of spiders. I've never had a spider on my pulpit before, but hey. I'll just leave them there as evidence, and all of you know that I didn't just make that up. You know, sometimes, okay, I got to recapture my thought here. We may be waiting for healing, or we may be waiting on God. For some of us, we may be waiting for God to bring along that right marriage partner. Or we may be waiting on God to show us specifically where does He want us to go for such and such employment. Or for some of us, we may be waiting for God to provide what we need in order for us to go to that mission field, but it's taking longer than we expected. Or we may be waiting on God to reach a loved one. Or we may be waiting on God to change a circumstance in our lives. And honestly, I would get it. I think it's kind of a blessing, you know. Christian and I have very similar backgrounds. I said I grew up in Musquodoboit, and that is true, but I grew up in a variety of foster care homes. And I remember the second home that I moved into when I was 14. And I know what it's like to be crying out to God and saying, "Can you please change this circumstance? Because this is not enjoyable." It's tough to wait. So I want to give you a verse. And it's a very simple passage. It's actually within this passage. Within this passage is actually hidden my life verse. I'm not going to read it for you this morning, but I will give you a portion of what is actually in this chapter. But you're going to please turn to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms 27. And honestly, one of the other reasons that I wanted to go down this road with you this morning is I also just wanted to share something that God has been working on me personally about. So here we are in Psalms 27, and we read these words starting at verse 11. We're going to read 11 to 14. And the psalmist says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I should look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Now, this chapter of Psalms, scholars are kind of divided on it, but they all do agree that it could be one or the other, that David may have written this. When he wrote this, he may have been thinking of maybe when he had to flee his son Absalom, who wanted to replace his father as head on the throne. That had to be incredibly difficult. To have such an experience as family betrayal. Boy, that hits you really in the heart. Or it could be some of the personal injustice that he also encountered. And that would have been when he was being attacked by King Saul, because the king was jealous of him. So you have David possibly writing this as he may have been reflecting on the personal injustice that he may endured, or the family coming against him. But in the passage, twice, he uses the words, "Wait for the Lord." And that, for us to get a good grasp of that, basically that word "wait" in the context here is interpreted as confident expectation. I am confidently expecting that God is going to do something. Honestly, in life, and we all have it, we're living it. As mentioned earlier, it's not easy. But what is it that you are waiting on God for, and are you doing it still with a confident expectation that He not only hears you, but in His time, which is always best, will answer? Let me give you an illustration. Just a little bit from my past, and I don't plan on going into it very deep. When I moved into the second home, it was worse than the first. And when I moved into that home, the only thing they did right was send me to a camp to where I heard the gospel. And it was at that camp that I got saved. But from that moment on, at the age of 14 on, I begged God, give me something else. Take me somewhere else. And God didn't answer. Not in the way I thought He would. Matter of fact, because I had nowhere else to go, the social services made sure I stayed there. Here's why. Because when I got to grade 12 and I graduated, there was someone there that said to me, have you ever considered Bible school? And of course I hadn't, because I had never heard of it. And then they said to me, because you're in the foster care system, sometimes you can go before a court and ask for money to help pay for it. So that's what I did. And I went before a court and told them, this is where I'll be going to school, this is possibly for how long, this is what it will cost. And that was the day that the Lord put a Christian man on the bench and He awarded me all the money I needed to go to Bible school. That wouldn't have happened if God had given me what I wanted. I didn't say I enjoyed the waiting, but when I look back, I incredibly see, okay, God, I didn't want it at the time, but I see where waiting had its value. Because You already had a design, I just didn't see it yet. That word that is used in the context of this passage of Scripture is actually found in its current definition, is found 47 times throughout this Old Testament. And so that biblical concept of waiting basically just means you and I looking to the Lord. Looking to the Lord. But waiting tends to be very hard, as we talked about. It reveals, honestly, it reveals our true hearts, because most of us want to control everything. Why can't I know now, God, what's around the corner? I honestly believe, from me only, just speaking for me, I believe that waiting is one of the most difficult things that God asked us to do. When we're thinking of loved ones, and I have them too. I have two older brothers who want nothing to do with God. And for years and years and years, my wife have been faithfully lifting them before the throne of grace, saying, God, may they come to know you. But when we get into situations where, but where we can get into problems is when we think we know better and we try to take control. I could give you some illustrations, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. In Exodus 32, when Moses went up on the mountain and he was up there for a long time, what did the children of Israel do? Lo and behold, they're down there and they're going, well, we don't have no idea when he's coming back, so well, you build us a calf and we'll worship it instead of waiting. Or in Genesis 16 and 18, Abraham and Sarah, as wonderful and as awesome as God is and has been in their lives, but they were waiting for something. And what were they waiting for? A child. And yet Sarah didn't want to wait entirely, so she tried to go a different direction, remember? Or in 1 Samuel chapter 13, King Saul didn't want to wait when he was going into battle, and he didn't want to wait for Samuel to come and do what he should have been doing. And so King Saul did the sacrifice instead of waiting for God's man Samuel to come and do it before they went off into battle. Which leads me to this. You can look this up later on your own. But in Psalms chapter 106, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test. When we have a decision in front of you, or maybe you have a decision in front of you, don't run ahead of God. It'll be hard, but don't run ahead of God. These are not my own, but these are someone else's, but they wrote it as this way, waiting on the Lord. You see, these times of waiting are meant to foster dependence on him. And honestly, in those moments where I was crying out to God, those were the times when I was on my knees the most. That's when I was before him the most. That was when I was focused in on him. And don't you think he was there going, oh, yes, this is awesome, Barry. Keep talking to me. Because I needed him. And I'm down here going, is he listening? Does he hear me? Why is it taking so long? So that leads me to this. I think I'm over. I hope you're okay. Just give me a little more grace. Grace. So I want to lead you into this. What can I do? What can I do? Because I want to make it practical for you and me. What can I do that will help me? And maybe you're right in that moment where you're kind of on the edge, and you're saying, man, I'm just tired of waiting for this. I'd like to give you a little bit of something to help. We need to learn to live on what we know to be true about God when you don't know what's true about life. She gets that. We need to live on what we know to be true about God when you don't know what's true about your life. Matter of fact, God made that very real to me. One day I ran away from the house I was at, and I'm out on the highway hitchhiking, and the very first car that picks me up, he says, where are you going, young man? I said, well, wherever you're going. And I get in the car, and the very next thing out of his mouth was, isn't God good? Do you know what I did? I got out. I closed the door. I said, thank you, sir. I'm going back home. Because I knew God wasn't done. So how do I fill your life of uncertainty, your life of waiting, your moment of waiting, your time frame of waiting? How do I fill it? What should I be doing? What can I work on? I'm going to leave you with that here now. I got this from a book. It's called, as I mentioned earlier, Waiting Isn't a Waste. Waiting Isn't a Waste. And in that book, he brought this out. So I'm giving him the credit because it's not my own. But he encouraged you and me to think fast. Okay? Think fast. And all that really means is we're looking at the word fast in an acrostic. So if you happen to be mentally taking notes or writing something down, here's how it would go. To make sure that our waiting isn't a waste, the F is you need to work on changing your focus. Take your eyes off yourself and turn them to the Lord. You need to change the focus. The A, you need to adore. And that basically means you need to rehearse what you know to be true about God. Because God may be not answering right at that moment, but if you take any moment to reflect back, there is so much that you and I have to be thankful for and can be thankful for that God has done. So we change our focus, that's the F. We adore, we rehearse what we know to be true about God. The S is we seek his help. Or give me the strength to make it through this. That's why David said, you are my light, my salvation. And what else did he say? Strength. God, give me the strength that I don't feel right now, but I know that you can give it to me. And lastly, so the F is focus, the A is adore, the S is seek, and the T is trust. Embrace by faith that God can be trusted. That doesn't, and the interesting thing is, in all of that, it doesn't say when God is going to answer, how God is going to answer. But by God's grace, you know him well enough that you can trust him. So I hope in some small way that this has been a blessing to you, because maybe you're experiencing that in this reality right now. And I hope that God's word has been a refreshing washing water over your soul and has allowed you to smile again and say, okay, God's got this. And here's what I'm going to do to keep my eyes in the right place as I do life, even in hard moments of waiting. God, you are so good. You are amazing. You are great. You are awesome. We praise you for this morning and for who you are. And honestly, God, we're all here because of you. And we are so blessed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're so blessed to have your precious word continuing to feed and fill our hearts and our lives with joy and wisdom and strength that we need each and every day. We are so thankful. And we praise you for this beautiful new day. In your wonderful and holy name, amen.